Hello, riders. We are in the process of releasing some of the talks from Micromobility America, which happened on October 19th and 20th in the San Francisco Bay Area. Two incredible days with thousands of people joining us, both for, of course, the content as well as the rides in and around at the Crane Way Pavilion where we held it. The first talk here up is with Levi Conlow, the co-founder and CEO of Lectric Bikes. Lectric has recently taken over as the largest e-bike seller in the United States, and this has all happened in under 5 years for Levi and his team. The story behind Levi and the team is incredible, and Levi talks a lot about that along with what's coming up from them and where their plans are headed. So it's a really great conversation, and we'll be releasing quite a few more talks in the coming weeks across things like regulation, having folks like the FDNY Fire Commissioner there, to PHMSA, the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials, and the U.S. government, to folks like the Consumer Product and Safety Commission. So you can hear a lot of different talks from regulatory bodies, from founders and CEOs, from people that work, of course, in public policy and more. So we're excited for you to listen in. And of course, we're really excited for what's happening next year, both for Micromobility Europe and Micromobility America. And if you hadn't had a chance, you can also vote for the Rider's Choice Awards, which are now live at ridereview.com. Along with the ability to join free with us for, of course, the Riders' Choice Awards winners when they're announced January 25th. That will coincide with Micromobility World. You can sign up and register for free for that too, and you'll see all that at ridereview.com as well. So thanks so much for everyone for listening and participating, and hope to ride with you soon. And we're going to transition right to the number one e-bike seller in America, Levi Conlow, the CEO of Lectric Bikes.
All righty, Dave. Thank you. That e-bike incentive program, pretty exciting. I had an idea while I was standing over there. You don't tell me anything, by the way. That's true. That, you know, at the business level, there should be some communication, because I don't even know if you know this, that Lectric is granting about 1,200 of our bikes over the next, I think it was like in 8 months, we're trying to grant 1,200 bikes, and we have an application, people fill it out, and then we are just giving bikes to those who honestly, we're never going to be our customer, right? So these are people that may not have the income or resources to get one of our bikes, but it's like, if we are true believers in this as a solution, then we have to do something like that. So we launched this program, and it's super cool. Like, we're seeing people that are refugees new to the country getting our getting these grants that it expands their radius. They can now go further out and whatever. So I got to find a way to get on that.
So okay. This is a good example. And we have, I know we have a panel coming up from Wambi and some others talking about the idea of, you know, how businesses can drive their own incentives for employees. Your grant, though, what does your grant run through? How do you become eligible for it?
Yeah, so there's just an application. Someone from my team can help circulate a link to you, and then we can somehow get it there. But you just fill out an application, you give us details, and then we're actually working with a nonprofit that reviews all of those and then helps make the grants and everything. But yeah, it's on a link on Lectric's website.
Okay, amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Levi moves fast, so I'm going to try to keep
it. I was excited.
How many people knew that Lectric sells more electric bikes in America than anyone else?
At this moment, I guess.
At this moment.
That was fair. 12 months.
Yeah, that's not many people. Why is that? Why don't people know you sell more bikes than anyone else?
Yeah, I've been asking my PR team this question a lot. So, like, I think there's, I don't know, we're very new to the game. The company's not even 5 years old yet. So just because, you know, the last 12 months since launching the 3.0 has really catapulted us into that number one position. It's, you know, there's been companies that were in existence 5 or 10 years before we even sold our first e-bike. But we've got great footing. And when I look at us, you know, next month we're going to hit our 400,000th e-bike, and it's 400,000 e-bikes in about 4 years. And it's like, that's a good early start. Like, I like the early reaction from the industry so far, and it just feels like we're in early innings. Yeah. Like, there's still a lot to do.
How many, just real quick, doing the rough math here, but how many vehicle companies in America you're on a run rate that's got to be higher than, 100,000 a year? Like, how many automobile companies in America are selling more than 100,000 electric vehicles here?
Oof, that's a good question.
Does anyone know the answer to that?
I don't have that answer. I think if I were to look at, in terms of an EV, it would only be Tesla.
Only the only one. So other than Elon Musk, Levi sells more electric vehicles in America.
Like, yeah.
That's free.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. Why does anyone know that?
I do look at him and his product as competition, actually. So when I talk to my team and I do company meetings and everything, I constantly remind our team that we have been stuck in this third place position for almost 2 years now in terms of the most popular EV model. It's a Tesla Model 3, Tesla Model Y, the electric XP. And I really want to get to number two, and I really want to get to number one.
Yeah. I mean, that's the ambition we want to hear.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's zoom out real quick. Kind of just jumped in there. I mentioned a little bit in my opening there that the industry is going through a lot of turmoil. I think we can see it in the headlines. But of course, much like you, we want to get out of it. You have scope over, you basically have better scope than anyone on the industry based on the vehicles you're shipping. Where do you see the market right now, and why do you think it is where it is?
Yeah, dude. So based on all the data we have, the market for e-bikes is down 20-25% is the reality. I think that is a little bit of a product of the companies and offering that was in existence prior to this, tightening. So people are being more mindful of how much they're spending and where they're deploying that capital and everything like that. And, I don't blame them. When inflation is going up over here, though in the bike industry, we're seeing prices come down finally, which is great. I think people are just being more mindful of where they spend their money. What I would add comment to, though, is electric is still experiencing, double-digit growth rates, right? So it's like, although the market is down 20 or 25%, we are not. We are actually up. We're completely.
And why is that?
It's affordability, dude.
It's affordable.
As the car payment, the average car payment on a new vehicle is $729, I think, as of July or something.
Yeah.
And, our most affordable e-bike is at $799. Right. So it's whoa, like that's not a huge delta. So you can still move your 200-pound body with this device.
Yeah.
So I think that is one of the reasons we're still experiencing such success. But we also are in this spot of we've been able to get our footing and expand into new product categories. So earlier this year we launched our electric trike, and it is quickly become the number one selling electric trike immediately. A month after that, we launched our electric cargo bike, and that is probably one of the top sellings, if not the number one selling e-cargo model. And that's only been out for, 6 months, if we just look at the last 6 months since launch. So, we've been able to finally go and tackle some of these products that we otherwise have felt like we were missing out on.
Yeah.
And I just had a great conversation with an individual where, a trike had really positively impacted a family member. And it's like, you kind of kick yourself of, it essentially took me almost 4 years to launch that. But I think the growth for the company was so aggressive in the early days that it was our goal was just to keep up and stay alive and run a good business.
I mean, you're doing a lot. I mean, you, it must be hard. Now, I guess one question there, just to pinpoint for, I'm certainly a lot of people wanted this. So, I mean, your story is interesting in that you really, the way you started and kind of going after, for lack of a better term, kind of the boomer consumer. And it seemed like that was very different than the other ways people had done DTC in the past. And then just one question there is, do you think you're partly able to grow out of this issue with inflation because I think that consumer is less price, not that they're less price conscious, because That might be why they buy in the first place. But do you think that has anything to do with it? Clearly, you're getting out of the boomer with some of your newer products. But I'm just curious what the, what is the, I think that that full area is too often ignored by our world. And, you know, what does that consumer look like?
My instinctual reaction is to agree. You know, every day, 10,000 people turn 65, right? So there's this silver tsunami, as I refer to them endearingly. And they, yes, they have a disposable income. Though our data for this year has shown that our age has only gotten younger over the last 18, 24 months.
Yeah.
So we've seen a pretty significant change. And, you know, one of those main reasons, though, is our cargo bike. We've seen that, you know, it's a complete inverse of our traditional customer. You're seeing customers in their 30s, you know, buying that one more than any other demos.
Yeah. So like it's, you know, from a product market entry point, you went high with the silver tsunami, and now you're kind of coming down and like,
yes, somewhat. Like I still design product for my core consumers. I'm just having flexibility because like the company structurally is now built where we get to explore other fun areas. Like what makes me so excited about electric is the fact that like, it's stupid when you think of it, that the fact that we are about to hit our 400,000th bike and we have never done anything other than a 20-inch tire, right? All of them have been 20-inch tires. And I look at some of my competition and they have maybe fired all their bullets, right? They've already done every vertical available to them. They've already sold in all these different channels and everything. And electric finally gets our footing and we're in this really good position in the market. But it's like, we got some more to do here,
yeah.
Right? We have some other products that we're launching. And I'm very excited to just continue to grow the brand of electric, because I think what we do, it's good because it benefits a consumer, is we try to make the competition uncomfortable with the way we do our product. And we have some very strict rules within the company in terms of how we price our product and everything. So if we meet our margin, we have no interest in going above our margin. So we actually have like a margin ceiling within the company and when designing a product. And so a good example is we saw container prices come down, core componentry prices come down. All these things come back to us that we were fighting in 2020 and 2021 come back to us. And we were able to take that and we had the decision of, all right, should we reduce the price of the 3.0 or should we improve the 3.0? And so we took the gains and then we added hydraulic brakes to it. And that is kind of how we think of our product, is like we just have these like moral compass rules, guidelines, bumpers, whatever it is, for how we design and sell.
A lot in there. So I want to, there's a lot you said there that I think is important for everyone to understand. One is this idea that you got to where you were, and as literally the leading manufacturer of e-bikes in the United States on one wheelbase, on the 20-inch wheelbase, which I think it seems like it's the right call if you look at the industry now. And but of course there's other wheelbases and you haven't even gone there yet, but imagine that's going to open other markets and other vehicles, and that's great. So I think we're excited for whatever might come there. Maybe sooner than later. It sounds like if you're in the market for a wider wheelbase, you might want to wait a couple weeks or.
Yeah. I got some cool stuff coming.
Okay. See, some cool stuff. Second thing, to use your analogy, you haven't fired all your bullets. So one thing that's a big topic in the industry is this, like, you know, you see the headlines, hey, DTC is dead, you know, DTC was wrong, you gotta establish relationships, you gotta get the channels going. You're still strictly DTC.
Right. Yeah.
Amazing. Why is that? Why haven't you succumbed to the pressure of everyone else telling you DTC is dead?
Well, just because I haven't seen it die yet, I guess, maybe that's part of it. But I think there's... The way we price our product, we can run a really good business, right? I mentioned this on our podcast that we did before, is that You know, electric is probably the most profitable micromobility company here in the U.S. with a significant lead. And it's because we focus on running a very good, lean business, right? And the way we do that is we just keep it simple. And we offer the best price to the consumer. There's probably nobody that spends less on a customer acquisition cost in the industry than electric, because it's like, just whatever I was going to spend in marketing over there,
yep,
let's just price it lower.
Yep.
And like, it to me, that is a far better relationship between, you know, electric and the consumer. So I like being D2C. It allows me to get really good data as well. So that drives really fast innovation for us. So like all of that is perfect.
Okay. So, yep. Feedback loop, CAC low. And then let's just like, you know, I want to talk about the broader market, but, you know, we're coming out of we're in a post-SERP era, right? Interest rates are higher. Venture is way down. Many markets have crashed out. The grow at all costs is kind of out, you know, also out of the door. And now it's about margin and profitability, maybe growing slower. But again, I feel like you're contradicting what the headlines are saying in some ways, because you're still growing fast, you're still making margin, but you're also giving the consumer the cheapest product.
Like, yeah.
And so you talked about that a little bit, but, you know, for people out there, are your prices going to go up? Do you need to pad the margins more now that the capital is starting to dry up, or, you know, what's going on there?
God, no, no. So like we're private equity back. And so from day one, Robbie and I co-founded this company with my old man, and we have run this company. So every product we sell is something profitable, and we can do this until the day we die, has always been the standard we have, because that to me sounds like a really good life. And so we have never compromised on that at any point in our business. And we continue to do that. And I think, you know, based on what Electric has done with improving the 3.0 rather than changing price is a testament to it. But I also just, we have some pretty insane partnerships coming out in the near term, or let's call it the next 6 months, where, you know, you're going to look at Electric and wonder, how are they doing partnerships like this with certain brands and componentry and everything like that, where it is completely in the vein of what Electric does, of us going after this, something that was unattainable, putting our spin on it and making it hyper affordable and attainable. And like that, I will not change. I was given an amazing compliment when the 3.0 came out, when they compared it to the Costco hot dog, because it price just doesn't change. And I actually take that with a lot of pressure.
That is a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a serious meme.
Yeah.
The Costco hot dog. Okay. So we're running low on time here. There's a lot I still want to get to, though. So I think you're probably seeing more deal flow than any other company in terms of that. Hey, I'm a founder.
Sure.
I've run out of money. I want to sell this thing, and I'd love for Electric to be the home. What is that looking like? Where do you see that market being maybe today? And then where do you see it in 2 years?
Yeah, I think it's really bad right now. Like I've seen a lot of bad businesses where they're not profitable, and they've been dropping in revenue. Even with their discounting, they are still seeing unit drops. And so, like, to me, that makes me very nervous about some of those businesses. I'm a big believer. Like, I'm personally heavily invested into e-bikes, right?
Yeah.
And so, and I like that, because I really believe in this market, because it hasn't changed that e-bikes are human nature still thinks they're awesome and they're fun and they're freeing, and we're still seeing more incentives come out, more infrastructure that aid to it. And so, like, there's only more positive trends with that. But just because there's going to be a lot of winners in the future does not mean there's not going to be a lot of losers as we weed out bad businesses. So I'm monitoring it closely. There's still some brilliant brands out there that are, do wonderful design and everything, and there's opportunity to collaborate with them for sure.
Will you be buying other companies, you think?
I don't know. I think we're always looking for partnerships. Like, I think we're always looking for the right thing, and we haven't found anything yet, but we stay curious.
Okay. With our time remaining, I wanted to, I think you've always been really great about being a call to the action of the community. I remember when you, Oliver's interviewed you. I know I've interviewed you in the past, and you've always been really great about telling the industry, hey, we got to get our component costs down. We got to drive this price down. A consumer deserves a better price. Where we're at now, clearly we just talked a little bit about the Electric Rider Alliance and what we think this industry needs. I'm just curious on your view. You see a lot of regulation.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of vehicles on the road. How do you feel about the state of regulation and your representation in that regulation?
Yeah. So I would love to see more regulation in the space. I think it needs it. Our consumers and our riders need more regulation, more care, more information about what they are buying. You know, I have a bike coming out next week that we had to test to a certain standard because we felt that was the right thing to do, but no one was telling us that's what you're supposed to do. Over in Europe, that standard is forced on you. So you must. Here, it is not. When we came out with our cargo bike, we had to come up with a modified DIN standard in order to test it to it because there was not an existing one here that we could have worked with. So I think there needs to be more regulation, but it does worry me that we may not have a voice in that regulation. And so I think the Rider Alliance is super sick because it's like we must come together and we must let them know, you know, what we can do as brands in terms of education and everything of that sort, and our product design and our capabilities there. But also, like, we know what the consumer wants better than governing bodies. And so I think we do need it. And when I'm here, right, and talking to these amazing people, you know, it's my hope that we start to mature as an industry, because like when I look out here, there is some really cool and impressive people, right? It is very evident that this is an impressive crowd and there's some awesome CEOs here. And what's cool when you're a CEO or a founder, whatever role you may play in an organization, you have the power to influence that organization, which will then influence all the surroundings around it. And so it's like you have that superpower of influence, right? Use it. That is all I want the industry to do, is to use that amazing thing that we have and use it for good. And if we do that, we can do something really special in this space.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have to leave it there. I mean, Levi, congratulations on the success of Electric. Levi will be here the next 2 days. I would urge you to talk to Levi about his stories. I think you're always open and fun and you share. And, you know, as part of this, we're all in this together. And I think you've got that attitude. And so we appreciate it. Let's give it up for Levi.
So sick. Thank you, Dan.